Israel needed a new king. The old one was, well, a bit of a fruit loop, a nut job, an egomaniac. He had a touch of the Donalds about him. Basically, Israel needed a change. God gave Samuel the job of finding the new king.
Samuel, Samuel, I give you the job of finding the new king. It's my pleasure to give you the job of finding the new king.
Enough of that. Samuel thought God would send him to an important and powerful family. But actually, he sent him to the least important tribe in the whole of Israel, to a man called Jesse. Jesse had sons, and not just one or two, but a whole bucket load of them. And God told Samuel that one of them was to be king.
One of them is to be king.
First, Jesse showed Samuel his oldest son, Eliab. Eliab was the tallest of the brothers. He was really, really tall. He was the tallest of the brothers. Samuel thought this must be the chosen one, but God said, nah, not that one.
No, not that one.
So, Samuel looked at Abinadab. He was the strongest of the brothers. Samuel thought this must be the one, but God said, no, not that one.
No, not that one.
Next, Samuel had a look at Shema. Now, Shema was the most handsome of all the brothers. Samuel thought it must be this one, but God said, no, not that one.
No, not that one.
Samuel looked at all the brothers, but God said no to all of them. Samuel began to get a bit exasperated. God told Samuel that people look at what's on the outside, but he cares about what's in the heart.
Now, I know I meant to repeat that, but I'm getting a bit bored of the joke.
Fair enough. Samuel asked Jesse if he had any more sons, and Jesse suddenly remembered that his youngest son, David, was out on the field looking after the sheep. He rushed to get him. This is the one, said God.
This is the one.
This is the one.
And so Samuel anointed David as king over all Israel. For whilst people care about outward appearance, God looks at the heart.
So we have a quick prayer before we start. Lord, we pray that we may know your will, we may see your face today. In your name we pray. Amen. What an amazing drama, as you say, follow that. Today we are looking at the anointing of David by Samuel, what it means to be anointed, and more importantly, what it means for us today. So today's passage starts with God repeating, telling Samuel that he had rejected Saul as king. God told Samuel it was time to anoint a new king of Israel and told him to go to Jesse's home, which he did. We saw that in the drama. And Jesse showed all of his sons to Samuel, and although they looked like they might be good kings, God kept saying no. How frustrating. Why not the eldest, or the smartest, or the tallest, or the most handsome? Very good, Caleb. most handsome. And God had said, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Jesse almost forgot about the youngest son, David, because he was out in the field with the sheep. Now, we're not actually told how old he was, but he could have been as young as 8. He was certainly no older than 15. Do you think a young, small, 8-year-old boy looking after sheep would make a good king? Well, no one in the story did, apart from God. When David was brought in, God said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." He picked the smallest, the weakest, from the weakest tribe. So Samuel anointed him. Well, what is anointing? Anointing is using oil to mark someone as chosen by God to serve him. So yesterday, something happened that people thought was quite important. Does anyone know what that was? I see a few red, white, and blue. So it was the coronation of King Charles. And as part of that service, Charles was anointed. And he was anointed hidden behind a screen. Now, it's important for me to say here that he was hidden not because it was super secret or anything super mysterious was happening. It was simply to protect his modesty when he took his shirt off. You know, who wants to see a 70-year-old king's chest? And the archbishop, as he explained it, although he used much posher and older words, basically said, in the old days, prophets like Samuel anointed priests and kings with oil, marking them to serve in God's name. But then later, God's only son Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to be the saviour and servant of all. And he continued, he said, "As we have been promised the same Spirit to be in us, the oil was anointed for King Charles and we use is simply a sign of joy and gladness." It's a sign. It's nothing more than that. That as a king, he may know the abundance of God's grace and the power of God's mercy, and that we may be made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So the archbishop in that little bit made the link between the anointing of David with oil, chosen to serve God as king, and the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was chosen by God to serve him, but he was to be, as we know through the story of Easter, a very different sort of king. He also didn't seem very kingly. He was born in a stable. But in Luke 4, we hear Jesus said, he repeated these verses from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He has chosen me, he has blessed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was anointed as king, but as a king to serve others, ultimately dying to serve us for our wrongdoing. And also, if we look back at that coronation service yesterday, right at the beginning, there was a young man who stood in front of the king and said, "As children of the kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." That's Jesus. And the king replied, "In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." There was a theme of service running through that whole coronation. And you might say, "Well, that's great, but I am not David. I am not Jesus. And I'm not King Charles." King Caleb? So maybe you are 8 or even younger than that. Or maybe you are 80 or even older than that. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. But you are all called to be part of his royal family. We see in 2 Corinthians, we're said, now it is God who makes us all stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. And he put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He has, if we've chosen him, he has anointed us already. If we choose to accept Jesus as our King, then we are already anointed, set apart to serve him, not by oil, but by the Holy Spirit. And we are chosen to be his children in his royal family. So what? So it doesn't matter whether we are holy or kingly, whether we look holy or kingly, whether we feel holy or kingly. We are all invited to be his children, his heirs. And we are invited to serve him in our lives, in whatever shape that takes. The Archbishop again said yesterday, whatever service looks like in our lives, each one of us can choose God's way every day. So, we're going to try something a little bit different and hands-on today, literally. We're going to offer everyone an opportunity to be anointed with oil, if you want it. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, whether you're handsome or slightly left gifted in the looks department, whether you're rich or poor, whether you feel worthy or not, whether you're gay or straight, whether you're full of the joys of life or in the darkest of depths, whether you've got doubts, whether you've got worries and anxieties. Whoever you are, God loves you and God invites you. And all are welcome to be anointed. Doesn't matter where you are in your faith journey, we're inviting everyone. But it is totally optional. It is absolutely fine if you want to stay in your seat. That is good too. This process of anointing with oil does not make you extra holy or super spiritual or give you brownie points. It is simply a sign of joy and gladness. And whether you come forward or not, we will pray that all of you may know the abundance of God's grace and the power of God's mercy. So the prayer that we will pray over each one of you is, you are loved by God, serve him always. But there may be prayers that you want to bring as well, silently in your hearts. Feel free, either when you come forward to anoint or at the backs, we're doing it in four stations, or whether you stay in your seat, pray what you want to pray to God. But he has called you. If you accept his gift, you are chosen by him. And he calls you to serve him every day in whatever way you can.